Baal Hashem, Rabbeinu is doing open heart surgery on us. He's helping us get out of tzara, getting out of pain, getting out of challenge. And I think one of the most important points about learning the Likutei Maran is seeing the words of the tzaddik in the way of, this is like a prescription, and it's like you're going to see a wise roife, a roife mumche, a great healer of the soul. And every single Torah has its own prescription inside of it. And therefore, when you go deep into the Torah, which as we were learning before in the Chai Klalim, that one of the principles of learning the Likutei Maran is you should go deep into it and live in that world, as we're doing. Once you're in that world and you're going through something, you're going through a tzara, something challenging, so then you seek the advice, you find that the prescription is found inside the Torah, you start going through the pathways of the Torah, and you find the antidote, and you find what you're looking for. So to start looking at the Torah in that way, whatever I'm going through, and here we're talking about a tzara, and how do I get out of the tzara? The tzara is coming. We're going to learn more about this technology today, that's how to get out of the tzara. But we saw that when the tzara happens, it's the dam is being shoytfin al alev. The dam is going and putting pressure on the heart. And that makes it the heart starts with defikus gedolus, a strong beating. As we know, when a person goes through a tzara, the heartbeat increases. And then we said, when you come out of the tzar, you bring a toida. When a person comes out of the tzar, they come to Beis HaMikdash, they bring a toida. But is the toida happen after the tzar? It seems like it from this, at least this shtickl, that once you come out of the tzara, you bring a toida. But did the toida bring me out of the tzar? Or it's something that I give after the tzar. It's the eitzah of the lave, we said. Somehow the lave gives an eitzah. I go to the chacham, he gives me the eitzah. And then after the blood goes back to the regular taluchos, the regular operating procedure, oh, thank you, then I give a toida. But how do I get out of the tzar itself? Is the Toida coming after the Tzar? Seemingly that's what it is. Right? Chavush, Yam, Yisurin, Midbar. When you come out of the Tzar, do you say Hagoyim while you're still in mid-flight? Hagoyim, everyone, Chav Rabbi say, Minion on the plane. Hagoyim, Alachayim, Toivais, Shigamalani called Toiv. Oh, we didn't land yet. You bring it after the tzara is finished, right? So how do I get out of the tzara though? What's the eights of the lave? Furthermore, we added another layer to this, which we said yesterday, that the lave itself goes through a challenge that sometimes seems like it's too much. And therefore we need the reya. We started with the Reya yesterday. So we said that the Reya comes to cool down the heart. Let's see that. Let's go back to the Reya for a little bit. Because Ramoti got me into the Reya. And we sat down to learn. So I said, where are you guys holding? So I said, where are you holding? He's like, I'm in the Reya. He said, well, I could go somewhere else, but like, you'd be taking me out of the Reya, like, it's like you have to start everything over again. I'm in the Reya right now. I said, okay, let's go to the Reya. Let's go to the Reya. So he pulled me into the Reya. The Reya in the English edition, it's Tinyana Beis, the second book, Beis, and then right towards the end of the Torah, Kesheh'alev bitzara gam ha'reya bitzara. When the heart is in pain, also the lungs are in pain. Which that itself is interesting. Because yesterday we started to build up that the lungs are helping the heart to get out of pain. Could you have lungs in pain but not the... Could you have the heart in pain but not the lungs? So we were speaking about that yesterday. I think Eitan was bringing up that you could have a basic level of pain that the heart could deal with. But then, meaning the heart could deal with, then there's a higher level that the lungs could deal with. But then there's a place where the heart is defikus gedoilus that even the lungs can't deal with. And we said, even if there would be such a metzias of Hashem creating a human being without a heart, still the tenuas haguf, just regular halach yelech of a mensch moving through this world, that itself would warm him up. And we always need the lungs. The lungs are the cooling mechanism. Yeah, Charlie.
What would be an example of someone that the lungs can't handle? That'd be like a very bad anxiety attack or...
I think anything where the heart goes into such defikus gedolus. I think even, first start with a physiological example, like that. But even not so extreme. Someone's just like, he's running, he's doing a 100-meter sprint, 100 yards from America. And his heart is beating, and he's like, and he's trying, and then he goes like to hyperventilation. Like, can you slow, I can't slow down my breathing. I can't slow it down. So the lungs themselves are, or let's say an anxiety attack, like the person, he can't even slow down the breathing. So the lungs themselves need an etzah. The lungs need help from something above the lungs. And we started yesterday thinking, what's the difference between the etzah of the heart and the etzah of the lungs? And the Eitzah that would come from above the lungs. We're still trying to understand also what the Eitzah is. We know there's an Eitzah. There's some Eitzah. Because the mashal that Rabbeinu brought is that when there's a tzara, you go to the Chacham. And the Chacham tells you how to deal with things. So when you leave the Chacham, oftentimes you just feel like I have direction. You went to the Reshiva. You gave him 50,000 problems, and you walked out like, I have a mahalach. I'm like calmer now. I was speaking to the Lelev Rebbe last night, because there's something that we're going through right now, and I just need to talk to the Rebbe. It's all, I just needed to speak to the Rebbe. And in like, I can't believe I was on for 6 minutes. I looked at my phone, 6 minutes, and I'm like, how did the Rebbe have time? 6 minutes? For a schlepper? Like, That's amazing. And it's Rabbi David Lelever's Yurtzeit right now. David Lelever's Yurtzeit? Mamish, right now. Zayin Shvat. Who's the biggest Oy of Yisrael? Just loves the Yidden. And fascinating, the Rebbe just said all of a sudden a story. He's like, you know, Rabbi David Lelever, he was in a certain place, and there was a couple of Yidden there. He saw that there was a couple other chever there. We'll call them Igor and Ivan. And Igor says to Ivan, like, Ivan, do you love me? And Ivan's like, Igor, of course I love you, bro. You know? Must love you. Love you. And then I said, no. Like, Ivan, like Be'emis, like, you love me? Igor, like, I'm your best friend for like 30 years. Of course I love you. What do you say? Ah, no, still love you. To our love. And then like a few minutes later, he's like, Igor. No, Emes. I'm really asking, do you love, why do you talk this way? Igor, of course I love you. I'll do anything for you. Say, you don't love me. Because if you love me, you would feel how much pain I'm in right now. And you have no idea. You have no idea. And the Lulliver said, I mamish saw that this is what it means to love, is that you could feel the pain of somebody else and help bring them out of that pain. And his whole life is just helping Eden come out of pain, helping a human being come out of his pain. David Lulliver, today. So after I just spoke to the Rebbe, I felt like And he felt something, and he told me also another vort from the Chasam Sofer that just I needed to hear. And like, I was struggling with this. Something was on my mind. I was talking to Hashem a lot about this inyan, and then he said the vort of the Chasam Sofer about this inyan. And I just felt, I hung up the phone, my wife's like, what did the Rebbe say? And I said something, she's like, done. It was like, it carved out a certain clarity, an eitzah from the Chacham. But then what's above that? What's the lungs? Now it's interesting, Rabbeinu says Chacham, he doesn't say tzaddik. He says Chacham. Nachman talks about the Chacham and the Tam. That the Chacham is the Chacham and the Tam is the Tam. Anybody ever read the story of the Chacham and the Tam? Yeah? Very deep story. It's a very deep story. The Chacham and the Tam. That the Tam is very, very high. It says Yaakov Ish Tam. Yaakov is called Tam. It's called the perfect one, the simple one. So there has to be something that the Chacham can't do, because the Chacham, so to speak, overheats. Now, if you look at the system from the lave to the dam, so the lave is like the final word. We said that was the Achdus HaPoshet. But we said the dam to the lave, if the lave is also struggling, we need something higher, the lungs. So the lungs become the Achdus HaPoshet, and even the lave and the dam is the Pu'ulus Mishtanis. But what do we do when we have the dam and the lave, and even the lungs are struggling? So look inside at the end of the shtickle. Shehashasha halev bitzara, gam hareya bitzara. Also the lungs are in pain. Ki hareya hi kiyam aguf. All of a sudden the reya became the kiyam aguf. Forget about the heart. That's a strong line. Ki hareya hi kiyam aguf. What's with the reya? The whole time I don't know anything about the lungs. Now I'm holding by the lungs. Now, we all know that Rav Nachman, after he got a lung disease of tuberculosis, every Torah was about the lungs. They say maybe no tzaddik spoke about the lungs more than Rav Nachman. Everything was about what the lungs are all about. And he brings in Sichas Aran that this was when he came to Lemberg. He started speaking about the lungs. And this whole Torah, the fact that he made it safely from Lemberg to Breslov, the doctors were not so happy about this journey. When he made it safely to Breslov, this Torah was his Korban Toida to Hashem. When he came out of the Tzara, that pain of the journey, he said this Torah was his Korban Toida. And he said, my lungs would have been healed. But the ones who were listening didn't believe enough in the power of the Torah to heal the lungs. In a certain way, what do you see from this? You can go to a tzaddik, and to the degree that you believe in the words of the tzaddik, it's poil. It's a very deep thing. That's why I think in a certain way by Sfardim, there's always nisim happening, because they believe so much in the words of the Chacham, of the Emet, that when people go to the Baba Sali, and Baba Sali would say, people just, there was such a clear belief, and this is, you know, a Baal Moifes, that people saw nisim mamish, but there's something about believing like links you in to the koyach of it. And in a certain way links even the mashpia, even the tzaddik. It's, and this is just happening in my mind right now, that in a certain way, so one direction it's from the tzaddik to the yid. It's from the tzaddik to the mensch. So to the degree that I believe in the words of the tzaddik, so the mensch receives the shefa. But in a certain way, to the degree that the mensch believes in the word of the tzaddik, it's also mashpia to the tzaddik. That's what this is. that Lo Yitzur, that it, if it would have been that the Menches believed in the words of Reb Nachman, it would have been Mashpia towards him for his healing. It has to be thought about a little bit. Yes?
So if you go to a Sadiq and you have like so much faith that like what he says is true and you're just going in with intentions like, oh, I don't know if I really believe in this stuff and all that, and then someone else goes in and is like, I fully believe this. Like
it could be two outcomes. Imagine. Yes.
It could be, and he says the exact same thing to both. One person could be more effective than the other.
Yes. It's interesting, we even find this in halacha. We find this in halacha. That there's certain things like that are more Kabbalistic, that kind of like weave their way into Shulchan Aruch. You guys ever notice that? Like, don't leave food under your bed. You ever seen that one?
It's literally camp.
Exactly. You open up your duffel, like, oh yeah. Don't leave food, even in a package, under your bed. Oh, but I put my Macallan 50 down there, like, clipped. So, there is such a thing that to the degree that you're holding in that, it affects you. This comes up in halacha. But there's such a thing of if you're sensitive to such a thing, ayin hara. To the degree that a person believes in a certain way, right? Maybe that's what the Sephardim are so in, like, because they believe they're such believers. Ayin hara, ayin hara.
Isn't there better than not to believe them?
So, in a certain rational sense, you might say, yeah. But then there's also a level of that there's many secret layers of Torah, and many secret dimensions of Torah that Hashem did choose to reveal to us through the Kabbalah. And is a person allowed to say, I'm not gonna enter into those realms because I don't want to be affected? That's L'toiv U'L'mutav. It can go both ways.
Is it even objective truth if it's not actually happening to you because you don't believe it? Thank you. The Iron Heart, for example, if you're like, I don't believe it because it doesn't happen, and then doing so also doesn't happen, and like, is it MF that I can't believe in it?
When we're taught that these are realities, that the reality is happening on higher levels. So if somebody's privy to go to those higher levels, so now he's like in that world. So he's shaykh to it. By the way, there are ways to completely, even if you believe in it, go above it, and that's emunah. That's enoid malvada. That was David HaMelech. But David HaMelech wasn't affected, and he knew everything. He wasn't affected by anything. Because he just said, Hashem is protecting me. So there's a level where a person goes up, he believes, but his emunah is not strong. It's like a bell curve. It's like, you don't know anything, he's just ignorant, yeah, you'll be okay. Then there's a level of, you're going up, you're seeing things, but your emunah is not 100% solid yet. That's like a troublesome zone. Then there's a level where the emunah strengthens again and you're not affected. But you know everything. So I think that's why sometimes people are cautioned. You're going to enter into realms where your belief is not that strong. So like, better not talk about certain things with certain people. Because let's just build core emunah. Yod Gimel Ikarim of the Rambam. Core emunah. 315. Not like we're making a plug or anything. So once a person has that core emunah, you're not affected. So there are certain realms like this. Now, by the way, the Mishnah Berurah brings down in Be'er Halacha that in Shemayim we're going to be asked, like, so what did you learn down there? And he starts to elucidate some of the things they're going to ask. Okay, nu, Chumash, Bereishis Bar Lakim, Ad Einek Kol Yisrael. Okay, moving on. Brachas, Nemes, Aikur Nishma Ba'arvin. Okay, no, all the way to Uktzim. Okay, now what about Tosefta? What about Braisa? Okay, we're doing well. What about Zoyar? What about Maisa Merkava? What does the Merkava look like? He brings this. Chashmal. What about Maisa? What about Maisa Bereishis? And then he says, and there's others. All so, we, you know, it's part of Shas. Like, we have what to, we have what to answer. We have what to answer. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Zohar all the time. Look in Ayin Hey. It talks about Kriyat Shema and head coverings. We're learning about head coverings in morning's Shir. So, there's a lot to know. To say, I don't want to know. It's like, ignorance is bliss. How do they say ignorance is bliss? We don't believe that. That's so not Jewish. We have to proceed intelligently, I would say. We have to proceed intelligently. Like real chachamim. So, I felt like I went to the tzaddik and I got an eitzah and it like calmed me down. So that's the lave, and then there's the lungs. And the lungs seem to be the ki maguf. So let's see back inside. Ki arei mekayemes halecha levona. The lungs are taking in moisture from the air. And they're bringing it through the body. They're moistening the body. Mamsheches halach luchas laguf. Through the breathing mechanism, it's cooling down the body. Just the body moving is drying out the goof. Just simply moving, it brings warmth to the body. And like we mentioned yesterday, if you could imagine such a thing of a body without lungs, I'm saying, God forbid, let's say there was a deformity, besides all the other problems, but if you could imagine, all those other problems would be dealt with. It's just a body without lungs. So even if you could imagine a body moving, at a certain point it would just dry out. It would not have the cooling mechanism. V'alkein, and therefore, ikum akiyim ali de'areya, shenam sheches lach luchis. Oh, v'kishe halev bitzora, but when my heart is in pain, and then the dam is coming and it's pushing on the heart. It's making stress on the heart. And the heart starts beating very fast. So now this strong breathing that's happening to cool down the heart. Oh, now that this is getting problematic now, because the very thing that was supposed to cool down the body is now drying out, which is what the tuberculosis was. That was Reb Nachman's problem. He was the drying out lungs. He was trying to blow and cool down the tsar of the world. So like dafka, he was affected with this. He was like the lungs of humanity. So he started drying out.
The lungs like the wings.
Yeah, mamish. So he was drying out though. As a nisya b'shareya. Va'al deze nisya b'shaguf. And that's a problem. That's why it says when a tzaddik leaves the world, like it's not poshut. Because where did our lungs go? It's like dangerous. Now it's really dangerous. And Chazal speak it this way, like when a tzaddik leaves the world, it's like it's a time of danger for the world. Lo alein, because everything is heating up. So we always have the tzaddikim that are just cooling everything down. Chas v'shalom. So now he adds something, which is, there needs to be something above the lungs then. The shemen hu refua lahareya. And now comes the shemen. How do we fix the lungs? What's higher than the lungs? That's the shemen. That's the oil. That's the oil of Chanukah, which is lahoydus lahala. So there's an eitza above the lungs called the shemen.
How?
So he says, on a basic physiological level, k'moisha oimer ma'olam, like everybody knows, ki hashemim melach leach, Because the oil moisturizes. When a person's drying up, they put on oil.
Women.
Why not men? It only works for men, for women?
No, it works for men.
Oil is a moisturizing agent. Yeah.
Is it referring to like anointing a king?
We'd have to expand on what it means, oil, in every sense. Here the Rebbe in Minei Ubei doesn't mention the king. So I have to think about that. But here it's the oil that would moisturize the lungs and that the lungs wouldn't dry out. I mean, somehow, even though the lungs are v'neshifas gedolos, that they're blowing a lot and they're drying out, they need an etzah from the shemen. So the tzaddik himself, who's the lungs, has to go up to Chanukah, has to go up to eight, has to go up to the shemen, whatever the shemen is. Now, in a simple way, I would say the shemen is like the Rebbe began the whole Torah, which is shemen is Chanukah. And Chanukah is Lahoidus, is saying thank you. So is the Eitzah the thank you? From here it looks like the Eitzah is Mamish saying thank you. While in the Tzara. So earlier in the Torah we saw, and we began today like this, is that we give a Toida Kishe Yoitz Matzah. When you go out of the Tzara, you bring a Toida, you say thank you. So there's a thank you that comes when you leave the tzara, right? Arba tzrich and lahoydes. After you come out of the plane ride, you say thank you. You say thank you, I came out of the tzara. Oh, get involved, Rabbi Yisai. Once you come out of the tzara, you say thank you. But here we're saying that the shemin, which is the toida, is a toida while I'm in the tzara. It's a toida while I'm in the tzara mamish. I'm in it. And this seems to be the highest etza. While I'm in the tzara, I'm saying thank you. So we mentioned yesterday that Ramoti was saying, I was driving and I went off and I missed the turn off and my way is at an extra 20 minutes. And then all these thoughts, tzara, I'm late, irresponsible, what am I going to do? I should have been checking out the road. Oh. So is everything for a reason? Is that already a bechin of toida, of shemen? I'm in the tzara. Way's added 20 minutes, and I have other responsibilities, and I'm in tzara.
Maybe something could have happened on that 20-minute earlier route.
So is that already toida? What would toida look like? So Ramoti said to me, he said, I started thinking, I have a car. Many people take a bus. I have a private car. Thank you, Hashem. I have friends that even invited me to their chasana. Some people don't have friends. The people that like me, that are excited for me to come. Oh, Hashem, okay? So, it's great. Oh, wow, I'm in my car. I have friends. And he said to me, the last 4 months that we're learning this Torah, he said, I started to make my whole life this nekuda of the shemen, the eights of the shemen, that while the lungs are in the neshiv, while the dam, shaitfen al alev, and the lave is overheating, and the neshifas gedolos of the lungs are overheating, and I understood that the etzah of the shemen is that which is going to moisturize and bring the lachluchis and the moisture and the frischkeit and the freshness back into the body is through the shemen while you're in a tzara. He said, I made my whole life, these last 4 months, the etzah of the shemen.
Yeah, but Rav, lungs is part of your body. You're going to have shemen moisturizing you.
It looks like you need something higher. There's a higher toida. There's a higher eitzah. It's like above the person.
Like what?
Is the toida? Is the toida? Shem is chanukah. Chanukah is toida. It's lahayd is lahala.
The Shemin is a higher level. Why is it? It's kind of the same type of question, but why is it only for 8 days? Like, shouldn't it be now? Or feeling down or something like that?
So I think, yes. Like yes, I think the Indian is that you don't make Havdalah on Chanukah. So Chanukah doesn't end.
Yeah.
And this is the avoid of the Shemin. You're in an avoid of Chanukah. Chanukah is 8, Chanukah is above this world. We're in an avoid. Remember, the Chanukah was the last Chag. The last Chag. The Tzaddikim speak a lot about that. You know, you think it lasted 8 days? No, it was just 8 days till they got more Shemin. They had to press it, but it never went out. Those candles are still lit. Those candles are still lit mamish. It was just 8 days they got new Shemin, but the one that they lit, the Pach Echa Muna B'choismoy Shal Koyin Gadol, that Pach is still burning. That one is still burning. We spoke about this one, Shalosh Shudas, where that Pach of Shemin came from. That Shemin goes all the way back. That was very special Shemin. That was the Shemin that Yaakov Avinu had in his Makel. He put it in the top of the Makel. That was the Shemin that he put on the rocks. That was the Shemin that was passed down through all the Doiris. That was the Shemin that Yitzhak had and Avram had that Shemin. That was the Shemin that Noach, when he was in the Teva, and he sent out the dove, and the dove came back with some olives, with an olive branch. He pressed that Shemin. That Shemin came from Eretz Yisroel. That was an Eretz Yisroel Dika Shemin. Because we have a tradition that there was not a flood in Eretz Yisroel. That was the Shemin. And it says that same Shemin, that Pach never ran out. It's like a Baba Sali Pach. That Pach never ran out. That's one of the Peshatim, is that they started pouring. Then why is it? Why do we have Chanukah for 8 days? The Beis Yosef's Kasha. What do you mean? We had enough Shemin for the first day. It's only an Eitz for 7 days. So we should have 7 days of Chanukah. No. The first day they started pouring out the bottle and they looked at it. It's a Baba Sali bottle. There's nothing even went out the first day. So even the first day was a Nes. The first day was also a Nes. So that Shemin, they say that Shemin is going to be the Shemin that we're going to anoint Mashiach with. From that same path. The Mashiach is going to be anointed with oil. The kings of Israel. Yeah. That is the Shemin that they would use for the kings. It's that Shemin. Yeah.
I don't know if this is related. I finished at the end of the story, someone's going through a sar. Because the whole of Israel is in a plague. And David brings an offering on the Temple Mount during the Tsar. And because he gave
Torah. What did he bring? He bring a Torah?
A Tamid offering. I don't know if that
uh-huh.
is different. But once he gave the offering, the plague stopped.
He gave an offering while in the Tsar.
Yeah.
David had the Shemin. Saying David had the eights of the Shemin. David had the eights of the Shemin that even while you're in the pain, you're already saying thank you. So there's a pain that comes, there's a toida that comes after the tzara, and then there's a toida that comes while I'm in the pain. It looks like this is the highest. This is the highest eitzah. Maybe you could say that it's the Shemin also, because this is a very high thing. The Shemin's above the body. I think Josh, you just asked, the Shemin is above the body. Dan, you said, the lungs are in the body. The Shemin is above the body. It's a high thing to be able to already say thank you while you're in the pain. I think what's happening, Moti said this to me a little bit. He said, the toida that you bring, arba tzrichin lahoidas, four people need to, that is when you come out of the pain. So that's a certain eitzah of, after I went through the pain, I see that everything had a reason, I see that it was all, because I'm out of the tsar. So I'm saying thank you, I appreciate. But the toida that you would bring while you're in the pain is almost saying that there was never a tsara to begin with. You think this is a tsara. I know you're in the tsara right now. But if you could say thank you while you're in the tsara, you realize it's not even a tsara. That's the eitz of the shemen. It's not even a tsara. There was never a tsara. Ein ra yoyud min ha-shamayim. Kol man da'ovid rachmona letav ovid. That there was never even a tsara to begin with.
That's not what your friend did though. You didn't say that, oh, it's good that I can subtract. You just keep focusing on other things and said, in context, it's okay that I have so much blessing.
So, was that what he was doing in context? Or was saying, all of a sudden he stopped focusing on?
It doesn't exist.
What he said though is all of a sudden you realize. I'm trying to figure out what's happening. He was saying things when you do this avoida, all of a sudden things start going back to normal functioning. Like the ways thing miscalculated. You know, you ever had your ways? And it's like you think it's so precise. And then you actually do something and it just like takes another 10 minutes off. Like, how could that be? Doesn't it know the algorithm perfectly? And he got there sooner. Another inyan that was happening and things started to just resolve themselves. Things.
Where does the actual, like, the time itself goes back?
Yes.
For me, we would probably say that like smoking's a negative to the lungs, like of the
what do you cloud think? 9 today's 6 o'clock.
What do you think the negative is for the heart and for the oil? If there is such a thing.
He's saying, what's the klipa of each thing? You want to say like trans fatty, you know, foods for the heart and or the fatty oils, trans fatty oils for the shemen. And the heart, you have to work out. The heart, I mean, the heart on the side of Toiv is that it's here to give an Eitzah. So you have to think about what the klip of the heart is. Generally, we say the klip of the heart. The heart is a warm mechanism. It warms a person up. It gives Eitzahs that are warm, that are good. Go to the Chacham, he warms you up. But on the side of the klipa of the heart is, it can be warmed up about bad things. So it's warmed up for taivas. So you'd have to think about that. And what would be bad shemen? Yeah.
So would we be able to make our lungs even better? Like,
yes.
If we did.
Slow down. That's using breath work. For sure, there's definitely tshuva and rejuvenation, and strengthening. You know, not there's such a thing of weak lungs, strong lungs. So the lungs are here to cool down. Meaning, if a person has good lungs, they're not going to dry up so quickly, right? Healthy lungs will be able to be minasheves, cool down. Let's say you've got big lungs. A big lung giving its cooling mechanism will be very, will not be overworked because it could just go and it will cool down the heart. If a person's got like bad lungs, so this is an interesting point. A lot of people don't breathe fully. They don't take full breaths in. They breathe from basically this part of very shallow breathing. If they want to breathe from their diaphragm, what a person has to do is blow everything out, essentially get rid. Usually when you do that, all the smoke is like just blow all the air out, okay? On three, we're just going to blow everything out. 1, 2, 3. Everything. And then. Whoa, I didn't know how big my lungs were. So how many people breathe? You get a bit like the head rush, right? You're like wow. Swimmers got great lungs. They got mommies that pumped up their lungs. So all of a sudden you realize your lungs, if you just utilize more of your lung cavity, you can cool down much more efficiently. But a person's breathing like that, hyperventilating, God forbid, or the anxiety breathing, a person with anxiety is not doing deep breathing. Believe it or not, when I was a kid, so I was a bit what they called labidic. Okay? They called it hyperactive. I called it labidic. I called it I had a lot of energy. That was my lashon. And all the doctors wanted to put all the Rosh Tevises by me, you know what I'm saying? And I said, I have a lot of energy. And my mother, so she was the one that really understood the healing. She said, just when you get labidic, just breathe deeply. Just, let's breathe. She would sit me down, let's just breathe together. Because I get worked up. And she would just. And in a certain way, that was already the Eitzah that would calm down my Tzara. That would be able to. So the lungs, I'm just talking physiologically, not medical advice, I'm just trying to speak pshat here. To learn breathing. But there is such a thing, so that's just pshat in a certain way. Rav Nachman's explaining things that you could experience in your physiology. But if you're experiencing it in your physiology, it must be teaching you something in pnimius. That's what Rav Nachman does. He teaches you the way your body works, is teaching you about how all the worlds work and teaching you how to get deeper into Avodas Hashem. Everything is an Eitzah. Right? Nebisari Echsa Eloika, like the Navi says, Eov says, from my flesh, I can see you, God. From the way my body works, I could learn a lot. So it's a very important thing for a person, if he really wants to be an Eved Hashem and a real Yid, don't put your body in someone else's care. Start, meaning if you need an expert, go to an expert. But start to be aware of how your body works. Start doing a body scan. What's going on with my body? Not if anything, I feel anything, I don't know what's going on over here, I'll just, let me ask somebody else. Wait a second. You can also figure a few things out. Get into your body. Become sensitive how the body works, the mechanisms of the body. So here, the heart, there's a tsar. The dam goes to the lev. Shoit fina lalev. The heart, defikas gedolos. We said when you're yoitzim at tsara, then you bring a toida. Go back to the beginning of the Torah.
You could be your own doctor.
To some degree, yes. To some degree. So back in Ois Beis, right before Gimel, everyone have that spot? Ki loy dai sha'alev doig ba'atzmai, ki hu margish atzara yoyse mekulam, av gam adam shoytfen alam, metzerim me'oit, ve'al kein. And therefore, k'sheyesh chas v'shalom tzara la'odam, ha'lev doifik b'defikas gedoilus, the heart starts beating very, very fast. Ki'u mevakesh l'naneh me'atzmai, the heart's trying to push the dam back to normal functioning. U'la hashlicha me'alav, that's interesting. The heart is trying to push the dam back. What it means, the chacham doesn't want people knocking at his door? Go back to your homes. It's trying to have people, because the Chacham wants that people should be living their normal life. He understands that he's the lave. He understands that people will come knocking at his door or banging at his door for an Eitzah. But he'd like that people are in their homes, happy with their wife and kids. So he's Lahashlicha me'alav. He wants to bring people back to normal life, happy life. Va'al kein hu doifik b'defikas gedoilus b'shas atzara chas v'shalom. So he's pumping a lot. And then the acher kach sheyotz me'at tzara, when he goes out of the tzara, as I chizrin taluchos adamim. But here, only once you get out of the tzara, then what's called taluchos. Taluchos means the normal circulation resumes. Like we said, you found your wallet. So all of a sudden, like, the heart rate slows down. You're less clammy. Normal circulation resumes. And you bring a toida. Because she'yotz me'atzara, you bring a toida. We said toida is halacha, right? And halacha is the same word as talucha. Talucha means circulation. So here at this part of the Torah, it looks like the toida, which is the halacha, is after the tzara. Whereas at the end of the Torah, we said that the toida is while you're in the tzara, that the toida is actually fixing the lungs. And I want the Olam to really walk around with this and think about this. What is the eitz of the heart? What's the eitz of the lungs? And what's the eitz of the shemen? The shemen, I think we spoke about. And it's the toida while you're in the tzara. Yeah, Isaac?
So what should you have? Should you think about it more during it? That it's a tzara, which is pretty difficult? Or are you supposed to think of it after? And also, this is like a very good technique in the moment when you're very upset or emotional about something. But a lot of the times, things can bother you again. Like every time you think about something, it comes back. So instead of just repeating this mechanism and these great tips, is there a way to do it and then an extra step to make it the last time you do it for that situation?
It looks like the highest Eitzah. The Eitzah is going to be while I'm in the Tzara. While I'm in the Tzara, because that will end it. That will clip it. Because if I'm in the Tzara, and I could realize that the Tzara is not even a Tzara. The Tzara is something that is here to birth Toida. Then there's not even a Tzara to begin with. Whereas the Toida after the Tzara, there we said, Chazal said, Arbat Srichin Lahoidas. Four people have to say thank you. When you got out of the tzara and you don't say thank you, you're not even a human being. You got out of such a tzara, you didn't even say thank you? It can't be. So arba tzrichin lahoydis, I'm be medayik in chazal. You have to say thank you then. The higher level though is that the mechanism is leiv and then reya. The reya, meaning it could get to a point that the reya doesn't overheat. The reya is just doing its job. So what is the reya? What's the eitz of the reya? We talked about physiologically of working on your lung capacity and me trying to, sit down and breathe and not get all, hyperactive. So that's a good eitz. But what's that eitz in penemius? I think we have the penemius eitz of the lave and the penemius, or at least after. We have the eitz of after the lave and the dam goes back to the talucha. And we have the eitz of the shemen, which is for sure the penultimate eitz. But what's the middle eitzes? That we could stop it from ever needing shemen? Or could you say, as soon as the tzara begins, you're not even overwhelmed?
Or just control your thoughts. Rav Dober, think positively and it won't come to your mind.
You gotta get off the bus.
So where would that Eitzah show up here? Would that already be Shemin? Rabbi Dober has a thing where he says, we know that everything that happens for the best. So the way that he would say it over, he said, who would have thought that this would have been the best thing for me? Who would have thought? That's what it is. Who would have thought? So he said there was a time that he rented a car and it was a big thing. He was going on a trip with his wife and it was a whole thing with finances and there was a certain struggle he was going through. He talks about this. And then he says he rented a car, a good car for the family. And then as he was turning out, and it was exactly when he was going through a certain challenge, he was turning out of the, the Hertz parking lot and right, and there's these guardrails. And he made the turn too tight, And he heard that horrible sound. And he turned the car just, and the whole side of the car hit the guardrail, and the entire side was. So the first thing he said is, who would have thought that this would have been the best thing that could happen to me? Who would have thought? So that's already, I think, the eights of the Shemin. That somehow, thank you. Who would have thought that this would have been the best thing ever? And he got back, they had a wonderful trip and everything. His wife's like, interesting, they gave you a car like this. He's like, who would have... Who would have thought? So I think that's the Eitzah of the Shemin. It's the Eitzah of the Shemin. Now, Reb Nachman's about to go and take this to another step, and I want to understand this next step, because this next step is a very deep part of the Torah, of understanding what happens when the lev comes out of the tzara. But is it when the lev comes out of the tzara, or is it the lev itself before the tzara doing something? So look what Reb Nachman says. So as soon as the dam goes back after the tzara, the alkein hatoida shehi ba kashe yoytze me'atzara hu mechuna b'shem halacha. Okay, halacha, because that's talucha sadomim sheholchin kaseida kashe yoytze me'atzara. Gimel. This is now a new thing. We're going to talk about this today in Rav Nosson. Umizeh ba haylada benokel. And if we use this eitzah of toida, of halacha, something about the lev, because I don't know about the rei at this point in the Torah. If I can do this, if I can have toida and halacha, it allows for birth to happen easily. Women are able to give birth easily if they use this eitzah. Okay, what is the birth? What's the birth here? So, the taluch of the dam going back to normal functioning, because once the lev came out of the tzara, there's no more defikas gedolos. But what happened? The toy that we said is afterwards. He's saying thank you. Arbat tzrich and lahoydas afterwards, after you come out of the tzara. And after you come out of the tzara, hoyda and toyda and halacha, and that is the taluch ha-sadam coming back. Through this eitzah, though, it helps you have birth naturally, easily. Okay, what's being birthed here? Yeah.
Chidushe.
So we'll see. It has to do with chidushe Torah and chidushe halacha. But isn't the chidush afterwards? Where's the chidush? Where is it happening? It's happening in the lave. It's happening afterwards. Meaning, I went through the tzara, and after the tzara, I had a chidushei Torah. He's going to explain the entire mechanism of what happens when a woman is about to give birth, what happens to her body, and then the baby coming out, and then what happens after the baby comes out. But the baby coming out happens before the blood goes back to normal. We're going to see that the mechanism here is almost like Mineu Bey. It's like within the tzara, he's going to describe in the next time we speak that only because the dam goes towards the womb and the dam is pushing on the womb that the contractions can start, that will then allow the baby to come out. So the dam is pushing, is shoytfin al ha womb, and then on the rechem, and then through that the baby comes out, and then the dam goes back. So here, though, it's not something afterwards. It's like happening, it's like bon ka'achas. It's only because the dam is pushing, making a tsar on the womb, that a baby can even come out. Meaning, it would be dangerous if the baby is there and there's no pressure on the womb. How would the baby come out? So here, it almost sounds like the Shemin. It's like at the in the tzara is birthing something. But I thought that the Toida is something which is afterwards. So we're trying to understand now. What is the eights of the heart? What's the eights of the lungs? What's the eights of the shemen, which I think we spoke about, which is the Toida while in the Tzara? But is there something different from the shemen to now we're going to get into the birth, that when a baby is coming out, it's only because there's a tsar that the baby would come. It'd be dangerous. If there would be no dam, shoitfin, pushing, tsar, the baby couldn't get out. So is that like the shemen? Or is there a different eights of leida, which happens even before you get to the shemen? Yeah, Isaac?
So the idea of a struggle of a nisayon and saying thank you in it because you know it's from God, right? For example, with a chronic illness, which is completely out of your control, you know, you can really turn to God for that. But for matters where you kind of shoot yourself in the foot or you make a mistake and then you deal with the consequences of that, and it's very difficult. How do you say thank you for the tsar when you brought it upon yourself? There's no one to blame but yourself. It's kind of like a little bit depressing because...
Sin of a pachin, like a person who says, like, I got a cold, I went outside without a jacket. Yeah, that was you. So, when a person can realize that, I mean, tsar, thank you Hashem for teaching me to be more responsible and put on jackets when I go outside. When Chazal say that there's certain things that you're bringing upon yourself, that's a very important teaching, is that I want to be more responsible. So what did we see today? We saw B'siyat B'shma, we saw the eights of the shemen. We saw that there's an eights of the lave, there's the lungs that are helping the lave, and then there's the eights of the shemen. But then we went back to try to really understand the toida that happens after we come out of the tzara, and the toida that's happening while I'm in the tzar. Then we added a whole new layer here, which is going to be a universe. This is a very deep part where we're going to speak about birth. That birth only is happening because there's tzar, because there's the dam that's pushing on the womb to allow the baby to come out, that itself is needed, like the tzar is needed to bring it out. So what is the eitza? What is happening that allows the leida to happen benokel, that it happens easily, only through the tsar? So we're going to see, is there anything different between that and the shemen and the toida while I'm in the tsar? While I'm in the tsar, what is the difference of the toida while I'm in the tsar? And what's the difference between me needing the tsar to bring a birth? Is that a different type of toida? Of Hashem, I needed this. I needed this tsar to help something come out. Is that a difference between the shemen, which is ki'ilu to say there's no tsar at all? Thank you for this. And we're going to go deeper into these eitzes that, like we began with, that Rav Nachman is giving us prescriptions that when you walk around life in this Torah, and any Torah, every Torah is its own universe, and you're moving, l'tayel b'Torah, so you're like going on a journey within the Torah, and you're going through something, Rav Nachman says, I want to guide you. I want to help you get through life in a successful way. We should be zoiche to mamish, feel the eitzes and feel the guidance that Rav Nachman is here to give us. He gave this as a gift to move through this world. And ultimately, like we said, the toida is the shashua ilam haba. That this is going to be the pleasures of the world to come. To the degree that I can have toida will be my eternal life. You should be zeicha mamish, to live with the Torahs, to live with Toida, to live with being thankful, to live with the eitzes of Toida and Halacha and the Shashua Elam Haba, and the Siyat Lishmah, to be able to teach this, Lil Moed Lamed Lishmor V'Lasos, as Kol Divrei Tzalmud Torah Secha, Be'ava, to have a love for the Torah, and have a simcha in the Torah. The Siyat Lishmah, we're going to see, once and for all, the Tikkah B'Shoifer Gadol. We're going to see the kibbutz galias, the binyan beis hamikdash, from here of Yemenu. Amen. Amen.